The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, I think we're back and running. It's Thursday already. That means tomorrow's Friday. Another week gone. All right, we're going over to Great Britain, or what used to be Great Britain, England, to talk to Father Paul Kramer, as we get to once a month. Are you there, Father Kramer?
Yes, I'm here. I'm in Ireland.
Well, I would have gotten there sooner or later. All right. Thank you. Sorry. Northern Ireland?
No, I'm in County Cork in the south.
You're in the south. All right, very good. Well, as we know, word came from the military command or some minister of parliament in Moscow that Great Britain would be the first target if there was a nuclear exchange. I'm sure that went over big in the media in the UK. What was the reaction? Did you hear about it? I'm not sure if you even heard about it, but that was a true story. They announced that the first target would be the UK. I think it was a minister of parliament in Moscow who said that about a week and a half ago.
I don't remember the minister saying that, but I know it has been in the Russian media. They have been presenting this notion of retaliation, basically of annihilating Great Britain with their weaponry. So I can only say that here in Ireland, people seem to be thinking that life is just going back to normal, and they have what in psychology is called the normalcy bias.
Sure.
And
comfort zone, of course.
People are oblivious as to how dire the situation is now, and what life is going to be like very soon.
Very soon, Father Kramer. Very, very soon. Absolutely. And the story about the Russian threat is interesting because they're not talking about an airburst nuclear weapon or a groundburst nuclear weapon. They're talking about minimizing rising clouds of particulate matter and causing a nuclear winter around the Northern Hemisphere. So what are they going to do? Their plan is to use one of their Poseidon nuclear-tipped missiles to explode a 20, 30, 50 megaton warhead under the ocean to the extent that it will generate an approximate 2,000-foot-tall tsunami which will come across and sweep all, basically, of or most all of the British Isles. That's the plan. So, a unique way to use nukes. And that would go for the U.S. as well, where 40% of the people live within, I don't know, 10 miles of the shoreline, something like that. It's a lot. And the idea is to let the water do the work and not generate so much nuclear fallout. The downside is the actual nuclear warhead is clad with cobalt-59. And cobalt-60 is the most deadly matter known to humankind. So when this warhead goes off, the cobalt-59 immediately converts to cobalt-60, and it's goodbye time. So they've got it figured out. They've got the nuclear aspect, they've got the radioactive aspect, and they've got the tidal wave tsunami aspect. It's a different paradigm of fighting a nuclear war. But that's what's planned for the British Isles. Just FYI.
I don't remember the name of the man, a Russian military man, expert in propaganda, I believe. I believe he's a military man, but a Russian expert in propaganda was talking about the effect of propaganda, the brainwashing effect of propaganda, which is that does not matter how much evidence you present, people will not believe it. That is a sign that they have been propagandized, they have been well propagandized, successfully
yes.
propagandized.
Yes.
And people do not want to believe. They do not want to believe. The method of propaganda, methodology of propaganda, is to tell people what they want to hear. And it's told to them in such a manner that they will reject any, no matter how much evidence there is to the contrary, they will reject the truth. They will reject reality and hold on to the idea.
Yes.
They've been propagandized with an idea, and they hold on to this illusion so tenaciously.
Oh, to their end. They won't let it go. I agree.
You mentioned something like the Poseidon missile to people, and the answer is they're doubting that such a technology exists for such and such weaponry can exist even.
I know. You remember it was probably 5 or 6 years ago when they had a very high level staff meeting with Putin and generals and so forth, and they had a big board with a big whiteboard, and there were pictures of this missile which is attached. It's a torpedo, but it was attached to the belly of a specific submarine, which since has been built, and this submarine can actually carry 6 Poseidon nuclear tip torpedoes, which have, according to the initial fake leak, it was a real leak, they wanted the information out there. These missiles, which are torpedoes that just happen to travel underwater, can go over 5,000 miles at a depth of 3,000 feet at a speed of about 125 miles an hour. I'm converting things to miles an hour and feet. How's that? That's you're not going to find those and stop them. Now, certainly, they don't have to be deployed that close to the British Isles, or that far away, I should say, 5,000 miles. But the point is, the technology exists, and they have it. And the first, I think it's Belgorod or something like that. That's the name of the new submarine. It's enormous. And it carries 6 of these, still in development, they say. Of course, I don't trust anything technologically anymore when people say it. They probably already have it. But they're building these, and they're going to be 6 per submarine. 6. So, yeah, you could wipe out the whole east coast of the U.S. apparently with half a dozen of these torpedoes without having to drop anything on the land.
There is going to be a war very soon. because considering the antagonistic moves, the threatening moves that are being made against Russia, we can consider it out to be a foregone conclusion that there is going to be a war. Kaliningrad, the two most heavily fortified military regions in the world are Kaliningrad and Mozduk, both in Russia. And Kaliningrad is under threat now. With the, it can be likened to the blockade that was done in the early 60s when there was the airlift to Berlin. Now it's the other way around. Yes. They're cutting off, the Lithuanian government is cutting off Kaliningrad from Russia, and this is an extremely threatening move because Kaliningrad exists for a military purpose only.
It's an interesting dynamic, and I believe Lithuania was the country that did announce the blockade, but they said it's not our decision. We're just following our obligation under our NATO membership. We have to do this. And they backed down. What I read was that they backed down and they've reopened the rail corridor through Lithuania. I believe it's Lithuania. It might be Latvia. I'll look. But they've reopened the rail line to Kaliningrad. That was it. Now, the bigger danger seems to be Western weaponry that is continually being shipped into, flown into, trucked into Ukraine. And that includes the HIMARS, incredibly accurate long-range artillery, and the anti-ship missile system known as the Harpoon, which they used, allegedly, to sink not only the Moskva, but that big tugboat, which I think a couple, 150 or 200 seamen were lost in that big tug. It's a big ship, a rescue ship. That sunk. So now the Ukrainian leadership, if you can call it that, it's obviously an extension of something else, but they're threatening to use the HIMARS, the long-range, very accurate artillery, it's rockets is what it is, against Crimea and to knock out the Crimean bridge, that engineering masterpiece. And Russia has made it clear that if there is an attack on Crimea or the bridge, that's it. And we will flatten Ukraine. And I think we can read into that exactly what was meant. They're not going to play games anymore. So that's the bigger threat at the moment. But your Kaliningrad example is perfect and very important. The point is, I think, that you're making, again, and we've made all the time here, is that the West, NATO, and its masters in Washington, the Pentagon, or Pentagram, are doing everything humanly possible to force Russia into a nuclear posture and a nuclear response. I've never seen anything more blatant in my life. How do you see it?
Yes, this is the madness of our Western leaders, is that they are provoking Russia to attack, and the people are being propagandized in such a manner to believe that the Russian military is completely inept, incapable, that the United States is the military superpower that is far, far more powerful. And it brings to mind the fact that propaganda is a weapon of war. The Russian officers, the officers of training in for the Russian military, they are all instructed with the doctrine of Sun Tzu, in his Art of War. He wrote that.
Right.
That was hundreds of years before Christ. Sun Tzu wrote this book called The Art of War, I read the book years ago, and what is stated there is all warfare is based on deception.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the deception is carried out in such a manner. Sun Tzu describes that the war that is planned correctly with on the basis of this deception is, it is when you attack the enemy, you will be like boulders rolling down a hill, smashing into the shells of eggs. Hmm. Now, in my, I use this image in my in one of my books called The Mystery of Iniquity, and I began the book with this image, and I conclude the first paragraph saying, "We are the eggs."
Right, right.
Because people have been so propagandized, they believe that we are the stronger force.
Yes, you're correct. Listen, this is fascinating because you're not only quite right, but you're getting your perspective living in Ireland. Okay, now we get the same thing over here if we learn to read between the lines, and most of us have. We are not the superpower we once were. We have been disarmed, disabled. Our military now has met one-third, 30% of its yearly annual recruitment drive to bring in new bodies into the military. They're now waiving any gang membership. You don't have to worry about that. That's been done. It's not an issue. Any gangbangers from any major city are welcome in the military. They're also now letting in people into the military who have tattooed their faces. So the so-called face of the American military is changing. And it's interesting to hear you say this from your position in Ireland. It was Lithuania who blocked access to Kaliningrad, and 8 days ago they had to back down. So they did. They, along with the EU, decided to let Russian goods pass through Lithuania to Kaliningrad again. So that is momentarily disabled as a hot button. But the constant threats by the Ukraine alleged government, which it isn't, their dictatorship, to hit Crimea and the bridge, that's it. The Russians have put down so many lines, do not cross this line, do not cross this line. And we've crossed every one with impunity. And this is the big one, though, Crimea and the bridge. So if the Ukes, as I call them, use a harpoon missile or two or ten or HIMARS to attack Crimea or the bridge, it looks very much to me like the gloves come off. Go ahead, please.
That will soon be the case. The gloves will come off. And another thing that the Russian military has done, in following the doctrine of Sun Tzu, his doctrine teaches in his and it's in that book, The Art of War. When you are strong, you must appear weak. When you are near, you must appear far. Now, they have been promoting the weak look for a long time. The late Christopher Story had published a journal called The Soviet Analyst. He was so expert in military intelligence that his private agency was hired by the government of Margaret Thatcher to do intelligence work. I remember his office. I wanted to visit him one day, and I just knocked on the door. He wasn't in. A friend of mine actually knocked on the door and actually was able to talk with him.
Uh-huh.
And his office was right in the same block of buildings as New Scotland Yard. That's office space that's not rented to just anyone.
No. I had him on the program many years ago. He was a very, very astute, scholarly, insightful authority in his field, and he was excellent.
And he was the one who pointed out that the Russian military, in their officer school, they are taught the doctrine of Sun Tzu. and that they had been cultivating this weak look for a long time, because when you are strong, you must appear weak. And this is their propaganda arm, such as the New York Times, back in the back in the Soviet times. Soviet agents were told, if you're not able to communicate with Moscow, you'd simply follow the, you want to know what is Moscow's policy? Read the New York Times. That's the way it was then. And so this weak look has been promoted for a long time. The propaganda has promoted this idea for a long time, has created the impression in the Western mind that Russia is weak and that we don't have to worry about war with Russia because the NATO forces are going to be so far better equipped that we'll be able to handle any Russian military attack easily enough. This is delusional thinking. We're talking about nuclear war now, and everyone is the loser in nuclear war. But
everyone
the Russians...
loses. Yeah, but here's another side to this, which I think most of our listeners know. The Russians have taken civil defense against this exact kind of threat very seriously for a long time. We have not. I don't know what the case in Ireland is or in the UK in general, but we have done nothing since the 1950s in any meaningful way to create a civil defense structure to try to protect Americans. Around Moscow, for example, the Russians are able to put the entire population of Moscow in underground nuclear bunkers within about 45 minutes or less. They have ring the entire city with these enormous underground bomb-proof bunkers. So they're not playing games. It's fascinating. And we have nothing to tell the American people what the government, such as it isn't, thinks about them, which is nothing.
In the late 50s and early 60s, we did have in the United States some semblance of a civil defense. I remember when you would hear the sirens blaring, testing the system for civil defense, because the sirens would be blaring, and that would be a signal that people are to be heading to the
right.
shelters.
Head to your shelters, yep.
And you heard the air raid sirens regularly being tested back in those days. Now, no one has heard anything like that. That's long gone. There is no civil defense program.
Do you know, I'm speaking rhetorically here, but do all of you know how advanced Russia's R&D, research and development, has taken them militarily? It is astounding. They have hypersonic cruise missiles, nuclear-tipped, which can travel at Mach. Do you know the answer to this, if I were to ask this question? And I just want to, you're very well informed, but people don't know. They have hypersonic missiles, Father Kramer, that can do Mach 27.
I wasn't aware of that.
That's, let me just round it off here. 19,000 miles an hour. We have nothing. I think we have something that can do. We're trying to build hypersonic missiles now, and they keep failing. So we're 10 years behind. And by the time we get caught up, they'll be 10, 20 years ahead. Of course, by then, things are going to look a lot different on this planet. But think about it. Mach 27 with a nuclear bomb on the front of it. And their new missile, the Sarmat, I think it's the Sarmat 2, has an astonishing amount of firepower in its payload. I think it has 10 independently targeted reentry vehicles, which could each carry a 50-megaton blast. Each is able to change course en route down to the target and evade uprising surface-to-air missile defense systems. In other words, there's really no way to stop this thing. And they've just deployed the first Sarmat missile. They call it the Satan II also. And they are now in serial production. And it is said that with six Sarmat missiles, the U.S. is complete history. It's gone. And we have over here, as you may know, our Minuteman III's, ICBMs in silos. The last one of which was built in 1972, I believe. 1970, 50 years. So how many of them will actually ignite and perform after sitting and waiting 50 years? I don't know what the uptick on the maintenance side of these things is. But further to that, they used to be MIRVed warheads, M-I-R-V, Multiple Independently Targeted Reentry Vehicles, MIRVed. Well, Obama, the communist, ordered them all to be reduced from 10 independently targeted reentry vehicles or bombs to one bomb per missile. So we went from 10, we lost 90% of our firepower under Obama, and we have 50-plus-year-old missiles which may or may not decide to react when the button is pushed, if it is pushed. So we are a joke. We're not appearing weak. We really are weak. Anyhow, go ahead.
Well, the Western propaganda, which is brainwashing the public, is telling us that we are so far better equipped than the Russians that there is no way that they can defeat us. Well, In this soon to take place war between Russia and the West, Russia is going to be the winner of this war.
I don't think there's any legitimate way to argue that. I think you're correct.
So people are being propagandized that life is coming back to normal, and there is that normalcy bias where people actually believe here in Ireland, people believe life is getting back to normal. They don't understand that there are more pandemics, worse pandemics being planned.
As many as they want, Father Kramer, as many as they want. And you know that as well as anybody.
There's going to be more. And, they're also going to be targeting the food supply. And they're very much in our face with what they're planning to do. And yet, if you simply repeat what they say they're going to do, you're labeled as a conspiracy theorist, as you're a loon, and you're not to be taken seriously. Now, Klaus Schwab has said that the supply chain is going to, there's going to be interruptions in the breaks in the supply chains. So the food supply is going to be curtailed deliberately in such a manner that there's going to be massive food shortages very soon. And not just food, fuel, everything. People are not going to be able to heat their houses in the winter. There's going to be food shortages. There's going to be food rationing. We're going to be living in a completely different world than that which we have known.
Correct. Yeah. Now, this is the view you're getting from watching the Irish media, the BBC, I guess the UK media. This is the general tenor of what you're seeing and reading, that Russia is weak. We really are their masters. And if there's a war, poor Russia. We're going to crush them. Well, is that the picture you're getting from watching the media there?
That is the picture you're being this is the image being foisted on the public just about everywhere in the so-called free world, which is which is an Orwellian term now. There is no free world.
You are right. You are so right. Wow. Well, the whole idea of governance now is fueled by lying. We are lied to 25 hours a day. Virtually nothing that comes out of Washington can be construed to be real and truthful. It's all lies, to one degree or another, and it's usually quite a large degree. Lies. It's fraud. We don't have a government here in the U.S. anymore that represents the people. It represents big industry, international corporatism, global elite, Klaus Schwab, etc. And we had that announcement yesterday that the World Economic Forum and the UN have joined forces to hasten the implementation of Agenda 2030. I don't know if you heard that or not.
That particular, I wasn't aware of that. I know they're pushing this Agenda 2030, and according to this agenda, we are superfluous. We are excess humans.
Yes,
we are to be eliminated. 90% of us are to be eliminated.
You are so right, and they are already well on track to accomplish that. Speaking of Irish people, you've heard of Dr. Dolores Cahill, Professor Cahill in Ireland.
Yes.
She came forward and said last week that everyone who has taken even one shot will be gone in the next 3 to 5 years. I think she's being generous, but she said it. And she's one of the first people to say it. I think Dr. Russell Blaylock, also, I want to give him credit. He's been very forthright. But so many of these so-called experts, if they're not created opposition and put out there to make people think that, oh, here's a hero to argue on our behalf, or if they're just idiots, they don't get it. They will not speak the truth. This is a weapon of death, as you know, never designed to be a vaccine by any stretch of the imagination. It's a biological weapon, a kill weapon. And these people who have taken even one shot, if it was a real shot and not a placebo, and there were some placebos, they're doomed. And I hate to say this. It makes me sick to say this. I take no solace in people telling me, well, don't worry, you could be wrong. I know what's happening. I watch this all the time. These people are dying. In fact, they're dying like flies, and the crescendo is only growing here. It's very sad. And you don't see any explanation in the obituaries as to really what killed them. What killed them was these injections and the spike protein. So anyway, Dolores Cahill deserves the top honors and accolades for standing forth on reality and the truth. And this ties into the Deagle.com projections, which I guess figure that the UK will have, instead of 77 million people, about, 7 to 10 million left by 2025? That's the projection in the Deagle.com numbers. Anyhow, go ahead, please.
The propaganda has been so successful that people are still believing that this vaccine is being used, is being promoted for reasons of public health, to combat the COVID, so-called the alleged pandemic. In fact, the government statistics, the official figures show that these vaccines do exactly the opposite of what a vaccine should be doing. That they have a negative effect of immunity, that you become more susceptible to the disease. After a brief period of partial immunity, you become more susceptible to the disease.
And correct.
The hospitalizations, the deaths from COVID, the rate of infection is always highest in those who have more who have received fully, the so-called fully vaccinated and boosted, are the ones right. who are the most likely to contract the disease and be hospitalized and to die of COVID.
Or remdesivir, but it's 95% approximately of the people hospitalized for allegedly COVID infection, whether it's the actual virus or the mutant thereof, or they're in there for various reasons that are related directly to the bioweapon shot, the injection. These people do not have an immune system anymore, Father Kramer. They are lacking. They have AIDS. And so they're going down with every kind of a disease syndrome you can imagine. Everything. Neuropathic, cancer, prion disease of the brain, doesn't matter. Amyloidosis is probably the biggest one. That's from head to foot, where your actual circulatory system becomes plugged up and full of amyloid clots, which are not blood clots. They're made of proteins. It's proteinaceous material. Anyway, you're 100% correct, and it's really good to talk to someone who has such a grasp of what's going on. The lies that these people are spewing are astounding. And they'll all do it until the cows come home, because they're superstars and they're in the business of being newsreaders and presenters for ego. We know this. Anyhow, onward.
The Prime Minister of this country, Ireland, some time ago, I remember, admitted it was an interview or just a conversation, where he admitted that we're just following directives, we're following orders. The propaganda has been so successful in creating the impression that these vaccines are necessary to combat the spread of the disease, that ordinary people who just listen to the news on the radio and TV, they still believe this. They still believe that there's some advantage in being vaccinated with these deadly shots, these deadly injections. And the governments are they're still having all these restrictions. There are so many countries you cannot travel to the country. You face restrictions unless you can have proof of vaccination. As if this vaccine is going to do some good for you to prevent you from catching the disease. It does the exact opposite.
Correct.
If you're going to have travel restrictions, it should be against the vaccinated people, because they're the more likely ones to be spreading the disease. Not the unvaccinated, but the unvaccinated are being treated like untouchables now, because the whole objective of this
genocide,
this exercise, the whole objective of it is to vaccinate the maximum number of people, because they want to eliminate the maximum mm-hmm. number of people. This is a weapon of destruction, of mass destruction, and the ones they want to destroy are us, the people.
We are the white Western Christian world is the number one, the top tier target of this biological weapon. And now we have what certainly appears to be a pending nuclear war, which will take out all that many more. And believe me, people over here, and I'm sure over there, it's got to be the same. Anyone who's taken these mRNA injections, they have no immune system left. They're harboring all manner of things. It's just like the old AIDS stories. There are 36 hallmark HIV AIDS diseases that people would get and die. So we're literally walking among people who have no immune systems and who are carrying all kinds of pathogens and pathology. And you're right. The worst place for the vax to be is near someone who is unvaxxed. Turn that around. The worst place for the unvaxxed to be is around the vaxxed. because they're loaded with pathogens. And if you have no immune system, you don't want to be around someone who has a normal complement of pathogenicity, which is what the unvaxxed do. We carry around germs all the time, but we have an immune system that can defeat it. Well, those germs, those pathogens, can be transmitted easily to the vaxxed who have no immune system left, and they don't need that. And that's what's happening. So there is every reason to keep the two groups as far apart as you can. And it's not pleasant to say that, but it's the truth.
And people are still being propagandized to think that everything is under control and being done in their interest.
Yeah.
And they have to be confronted with the idea that what is life going to be like? Well, they're going to think consider that if they're still alive, if they've been vaccinated, their days are numbered. They're not going to be around too much longer. But in the meantime, they're going to be facing famine. There's going to be food shortages. What is life going to be like? Well, just imagine what life is going to be like if you're going to be searching through dumpsters for garbage that's edible garbage that's something that might keep you alive. That's what life is going to be like very soon.
Correct. Are you aware of what's happened over here in terms of the destruction, fires, explosions, and so forth, in food processing, major, large food processing plants all over the U.S.? There have been well over 100 food processing plants destroyed, damaged, or otherwise impeded in their function in the last couple months. We've had three major natural gas plant explosions. They are doing everything they can to bring on what you're talking about, and they will succeed. The people just cannot stand up against them. Won't, can't, don't want. They're in their comfort zone, as you say. They're exactly where they are. They're not going to get out of it. It's incredible to watch. This is the biggest psychological operation, I think, in recorded history. It's being done on basically a planet-wide basis, and it's working. It got all these people to demand their vaccines. What a psyop that was. And they're still getting their shots. Well, I've got 5 shots so far. It's really crazy. And a little footnote, which we'll talk later on tonight about, is this friend, and I just want to, I don't think I mentioned this. He was talking to an older man who was a Navy veteran, and he said he's just been called up. And what's so odd about that is that he's 72, and he can't talk about what he does in the Navy. But they've called him up, and I'm understanding that there are other people being called up now. Our military is just a joke. So they're calling up 70-year-old men here?
Well, I suppose some of these 70-year-old men are the only ones who have any real expertise left.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure he's being called up to teach and instruct some of the facially tattooed and pink shoe-wearing troops and service people we have. This LGBTQ thing has just annihilated the culture here. From the military to the retail business, it doesn't matter. And I talked to a banker the other day. I mentioned this last night. He's a bank officer, an executive officer in a bank. Actually, he's a credit union. And he had a position to fill. I assume it was a loan officer. And he said, I had the same position three years ago. And I had over 100 applicants, and they were all pretty good. You know how many applicants he got this time he advertised the position? One. That's it. So we have no labor pool because people have been shot up and they're sick. Or they're on the government dole and they don't want to go back to work. We've lost so much over here, Father Kramer. It's astonishing to see. The automobile traffic on the roads is less than it was in most every place because people have died and they're sick. And they're also driving crazy. We have what we call vaccidents over here. And they're accidents caused by people who are no longer able to function properly because of these biological weapon injections that they've taken, one after the other after the other.
That's happening here, too. And now we're, there's such a thing they call like sudden infant death syndrome. Now there's sudden adult death syndrome.
Yep. Yep. SADS. They had to come up with a nifty little moniker for that because people are just, they're dying. Dying. Dying at, you read the obituaries here. We try and track the obituaries. And you have that wonderful John O'Looney there. And I believe he's in Ireland. I'm not sure. But runs a funeral home. And he has made a great contribution to understanding what's really going on over there. John O'Looney. And you should look for his videos. They're all worth looking at. So, yes, we have big problems, and they're getting worse all the time. Then, baby size or child size coffins, caskets, world record orders in terms of numbers. These companies have never received more orders for them. And the people haven't even died yet, the children. But they're going after the children and injecting them here at 6 months of age with these kill shots. 6 months to 5 years. And then it goes from five on up. So that's bad enough, but Moderna is trying to get that lowered to 3 months of age. These children have nothing. They're infants. They have no immune system yet. And they're going to give them these... It's obvious what the agenda is. It's world genocide, as you've been saying. No other way to look at it. None.
The children are being vaccinated, supposedly, against the disease, which they cannot contract. They can't catch this disease because they have COVID does not infect children.
Totally correct.
So why are they being vaccinated? Well, the real reason, we know what the real reason is to exterminate them.
Correct. Infanticide, and they're sterilizing young adults now, teenagers, young adults, young women. No question about it. None. The agenda is clear. All one has to do is open one's eyes and do a little bit of research and listening, and it's right there. What is the percentage of people in Ireland who have been injected? Do you know? How high is it?
I don't know the exact figure, but it's a huge figure. The majority they've all swallowed the propaganda, hook, line, and sinker, and people believe that they're protected against the disease if they take the injection.
No, they're protected against a long and healthy life is what they're protected against. They're going to be in serious trouble.
There was a really aggressive drive to get people vaccinated. I kept receiving messages and phone calls about being vaccinated. I get a text message telling me your vaccination has you have an appointment to be vaccinated at Cork University Hospital on such and such a date. With the AstraZeneca, injection,
right.
The first time I received that, they asked for a response. Are you coming in to be vaccinated? And I said no, not ever.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Then they start pushing it something closer to home to make it more easy to get the vaccine. So you don't have to come all the way out to Cork University Hospital. You can make it more convenient for you to get your death injection.
They'll come to your house. have come to your house?
They haven't actually come to the house, no. But they better not get too close to the door unless they want a broken nose.
This is unbelievable. It's euthanasia is what it is, en masse. Ireland has administered at least 11 million doses of COVID vaccines so far. Assuming every person needs two doses, that's enough to have vaxxed or given a bioweapon to about 111% of the country's population. So you're way up there. You're close to 100%. You're probably 95% vaxxed in Ireland. Wow.
Now, I recall some years ago when Brian Cowan was the prime minister of this country, the Taoiseach is the equivalent term of a prime minister. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that Ireland needs to have its population reduced.
Oh, he did he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, when you come to think of it, now, the population of Ireland today is less than it was in the early 19th century. Go back to 1830, 1840. There was a much higher population than there is now.
There's 5 million people in Ireland now. That's it. 5 million.
Well, it's less before the famines. The people, of course, the majority of people lived on potatoes here because the food was produced for exportation. They didn't have access to the food. Ireland produced a great deal of food, but the food was produced for exportation. So when the blight struck the potatoes, people starved. The highways were lined with armed security to protect the food supply from the starving Irish people, so that the food could be brought to the ports and shipped out of the country for exportation.
Wow! In 1840, there were 8 million people in Ireland. Now there are 5. So your point was right on the money. All right, one final comment, Father Kramer, then we have to say goodnight for this visit.
Let's not forget the memorandum of Henry Kissinger that food will be used as a weapon.
NSM 200, I think. Yeah. Yeah, oh yes, that's absolutely.
Because when you are starving and when you're freezing, they have total control of you, and they want us to know that they have total control over us, that we are powerless slaves. They're trying to force this idea on us that we are all absolutely powerless, and they're going to dictate absolutely everything. And there's nothing we can do.
They want. I know.
They want us to believe that there's nothing that we can do.
The disempowerment is overwhelming. I concur. It's not a good situation. All right, well, let's talk in a month, and you stay safe, be well, and thank you again for everything. All right?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Father Kramer, very much. All right, we'll be right back with more. That's Father Paul Kramer and the view from, well, the British Isles, so to speak. Okay, back after this.